Good morning, church. So glad to come back. When I heard kids' breakfast program, I was about to leave. I thought it's for me, you know. I'm hungry because, no, just kidding. So thank you, Pastor Vincent, and invitation. And I do play 2 times pickleball. Does it count as a gym every week? And the last 2 weeks, because we have a VBS now, so we are playing outdoor. The environment is not the same. A lot of wind, you know, sun, all these things. The ball is bigger, not bigger, it's heavier. And when it hits you, you really feel that pain. So the environment change, we need to adjust how to play that pickleball. And I think a lot of time in life, we need to do the same thing. When we face different challenges in life, I think we also need to make some adjustment. So I just want to show you the first PowerPoint. This, I'm not sure you have gone to this place before. It is in the near London. It's called Hampton Court. So if you look at this carefully, I cannot walk away. This actually is all the branches of this vine right here. So one vine and all these are branches and supported by all this metal thing. And you see a lot of grapes too. So this is the famous of this location because just one vine and you will see so many productive branches. And so today we're going to talk about this allegory or like an illustration that Jesus used, and today just want to share this message with you. I have packed 2 messages to 1 sermon, so I hope you will stay away for, how much time do I have actually? 10:30 or less? 10:30. The most. Kick me out, okay, when 10:30 arrives. So I'm sure I already shared with you when I was here serving here. When I was growing up, I have a big question in my life and in my heart that, you know, why Christians will, their spiritual growth is always go up and down, go up and down. This was my question for many, many years. And I'm sure I have shared this with you when I was here. I think the answer finally came when I was serving in Edmonton, I think the 2nd year. We're still thinking about these questions. Why would Christians will go up and down in our spiritual journey? And how come we cannot be a little bit more steady, stable, or even going up, growing to, you know, as time goes by? So 2nd year, I finally got the answer from God. And it has something to do with disciple making. So I started a team with my 3 elders. We call it the disciple-making team. So I formed it with my 3 elders. We spent 2 years together and study. And this is our what we got. After 2 years, over 60 meetings, more than that, I think we finally come to some kind of progress that Jesus is calling his disciples to continue to grow. So there's 2 PowerPoints I will show it to you. The first one actually is from Jesus calling right beside the Jordan River. That was the first time Peter, met Jesus. So John the Baptist showed them, you know, Jesus, you know, this is the Lamb of God and all that. I'm sure you remember. So they tried to follow Jesus and Jesus said, come and see. So that actually is not just spending one night together, because as we study, we find out that they actually spent 4 or 5 months together. They went back to Jerusalem. After they met, they got to get to know each other, and they started to see what Jesus was doing, his teaching, all that. That about 4 to 5 months period of time. So when they have a vacation or holiday, they will stop their fishing business and they will follow Jesus. So they went back. Actually, if you look at those John, Mark, all those books, you will see that Jesus went back to Jerusalem. A lot of people recorded that was the first time he cleansed the temple. So those disciples, not 12 of them, but some of them were already starting to follow Jesus occasionally. They were just trying to check out who Jesus was. So John the Baptist said that he was the Lamb of God. So they really want to find out about this guy. And Jesus allowed them to watch him. So this is a period of time when seekers come to church, or new believers through worship, Sunday school, try to figure out who Jesus was. So in this case, it's the same thing. So they spend 4 or 5 months, and then after 4 or 5 months, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus finally called them. You see, come and see, period. They did not, they were not allowed to follow Jesus because Jesus did not respond to them. When they say that, we'd like to find out who you are. In those days, is the student looking for rabbis. They will knock on the door of the rabbis and say, I would like to be your student. So they are the one choosing rabbis. But Jesus would not allow them to do so. Because if you look at this, John, you will see that, John chapter 15, you will see that Jesus said that, I'm the one choosing you. You are not the one choosing me. So you start like that. Yes, God made that decision. So come and follow me was beside the Sea of Galilee. After a few months, they were thinking about, should I follow Jesus? Is he the Messiah? So they were doing their business. They are going home, you know, spend time with their families. But at the same time, they got stuck with these questions. They have seen what Jesus was doing and teaching. And then now Jesus actually finally came. And he called them right beside the Sea of Galilee. And they, as you know, they just dumped everything. They just followed Jesus. A lot of people took this as a very strong commitment. But you have to understand the first encounter was in the beside the Jordan River, not the Sea of Galilee. So it was a come and see for a few months and then come and follow me. Jesus was inviting them to learn from him now. So this is about more than a year. So these disciples starting to follow Jesus, they still go home. But now they have a more intentional purpose to follow Jesus. So Jesus is calling them and say, you need to follow me and learn from me. So they if you look at Luke and Matthew, after the first calling, especially the book of Matthew, so many chapters after that calling that show Jesus teaching, preaching, and cast out demons, all those things. So the disciples was watching him, and they are starting to learn from him. So at the end is come and be with me is in Mark chapter 3, and Jesus finally called 12 disciples after his prayer. He asked them to come and say he appointed 12, he elected 12 disciples. Now, these 12 disciples, for him, it is time for them to take on the ministries after a period of learning. So their progressive commitment that Jesus is asking each one of us. Unfortunately, from our studies, I hate to say that, but I think I need to let you know, most Christians spending our lives, most of us are in just these two areas. Come and follow me. We will come to church. We will serve God. But that's all. 80% of Christians are stuck in these two. And then we will not move on to come and be with me. And the last one I want to show you is this one. Remain in me is today's passage. Excuse me, we have a very long introduction this morning. So come and remain in me is talking about Jesus asking them, you know, now that you are going to serve, you need to be remain in me because this is where your strength comes from. Now, a lot of Christians also forget about this. We are doing ministries on our own with our strength. So I think these 4 steps is very important for us to see it and come and be with me. Now, I need to use illustration, maybe helping you to understand. Just like you go to Sunday school, now nothing to do with against Sunday school. I'm just using it because most of us have experience of going to Sunday school. So come and see is just you are being a student there. You go to Sunday school. So you sit there for 10 years, 15 years, just a student. And you watch your teachers, different teachers come, teaching different things. And sometimes you are inspired. Sometimes you just say, maybe I should, you know, I regret coming back to church this early for Sunday school. It's so boring, you know, something like that. So you spend years in Sunday school as a student. Come and see. And then one day your teacher said, because you've been coming to Sunday school for so many years and you've been so faithful, then he started to ask you, would you like someday to be a teacher? Come and follow me. So it's a further commitment. Now he's no longer a student. Now, I'm sure your attitude will change. You take it seriously and think, should I be a teacher someday? You know, all these things, you're starting to think about it. And someday you might say yes. When you get this invitation and this challenge, I'm sure when you go to Sunday school, your attitude will not be the same. You are no longer just sitting there waiting for something to happen. You are really watching your teachers. You will talk to him about how he prepares Sunday school. So when he runs into questions after questions, sometimes distracting the whole Sunday school, how you are looking at him and see how he handles all these things. So your eyes pay more attention. Maybe a year later, come and be with me. Now is your time to teach. So come and be with me is the time that Jesus actually sent out 12 disciples, remember? After a period of time, they are watching closely. Now they know that someday they are going to be doing what Jesus is doing, teaching, cast out demons, healing the sick. Now they pay really much attention to it. But a lot of the time, as I said, as a Sunday school teacher, we use our own strength. We try our own best. And some teachers disappointed because the student seems not learning anything or all those things, so that you feel disappointed and then you step out. You say, I'm not going to teach anymore. Remain in me is the last call that Jesus is asking us, because he wants us to know that our life has to be filled with his life. I think remain in me in this passage is something like that. The power, the strength, the wisdom, all from God, not from you. And it's very important to have this calling at the end. So today, finally, I finished my introduction. So it's a little bit too long, so I hope you forgive me. And let's go to this passage together today. And if you look at chapter 15, I'm the true mind, all that. I'm sure you have read this many times. You have studied this passage many times. Do you know why Jesus talked about this in chapter 15? Have you thought about that? Why vineyard? Why did he say, I'm the vine, you are the branches? All of a sudden. We need to look at this carefully, because I think the answer for this passage, John chapter 15, 1 to 8, even further, is as you study, but because of time, of course, I just ask you guys to read 1 to 8. But the passage continues. But the reason Jesus was talking about this, we need to go back to chapter 14, a little bit from 13, but let's go back to 14. The last verse of chapter 14 actually mentioned about they get up after the Last Supper. Remember, you have to go back and look at it, and you will discover that the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, chapter 13, 14, was taking place in the upper room during the supper time. So chapter 13, the end, the last passage, last section of chapter 13, Jesus starting to mention that he's leaving. He's going away. Now, disciples have so many questions after he mentioned that. And Jesus trying to answer those questions in chapter 14, and he gives us the answer or ability to understand chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Otherwise, you won't be able to understand or appreciate the meaning of this passage in chapter 15. So let's go back and look at this chapter 14. What is vine? Vine is a kind of, it's a plant. I don't have to read it, I just look at it, and you know that we are living in Ontario. If you have gone to Niagara Falls, Niagara on the Lake, I'm sure you have seen so many vineyards that we have, and you pay attention, all of them have some support system. Every vine is supported by something. So this kind of unique plant, you know, they cannot stand on its own most of the time. So they need to support, they need support. And this is how it works. And this will help us to understand when Jesus talks about chapter 15. So if you look at this, you will see that at the end of chapter 14, Jesus said, get up, let's go. So a lot of people thought that Jesus talking about get up, just leaving the table that they are having dinner, or get up, leaving the room. So which one you think was the correct answer? I shouldn't say correct answer because I'm not even sure my understanding is the correct answer. I believe they really step out of the room. They're starting their journey to the Garden of Gethsemane. So as they walk, some scholars believe that Jesus walking by the temple with his disciples, and they saw the decoration, you know, the building, and they see those vine and all those things. So Jesus used this as an illustration to reinforce what he was talking about in chapter 14. Or they are walking through a vineyard at this point. There's a lot of vineyards in Jesus' time. So when they were walking through, Jesus used this as an illustration to further explain to them, because, you know, we love to use illustration. As a preacher, we always use illustrations. So Jesus was a great teacher, so he was using illustrations. Because chapter 14, if you look at chapter 14, it's very hard to understand, especially at night after supper. And they have no clue what Jesus was talking about. That about leaving, you know, dying, all those things. So chapter 14 to them was very hard to swallow. So they come to chapter 15. So Jesus saw those vineyards, and then he started to use this as an illustration and try to explain to them something they can get it right away. Just like today, what will we use as an illustration? I was thinking about a phone, you know, a mobile phone. And without the battery, all the apps are dead. And we need to understand that vineyard. Look at the vine, you know, if you are not attached to the vine, you are dead. Nothing you can do about it. All the apps that you have on your phone, you cannot use them unless there's power. So let's look at chapter 14, because I think this is very important. I want you to see. Now, this is a healthy big vine. Look at that. The branches are very big, strong, and all the grapes, really delicious. And this is, you see, there's a support, big piece of support log right there, so that the vine can lean on. And it's very important for us to understand, as I said, chapter 15. So I want you to look at it, and you will see that this is where we are coming to. Now, chapter 13. If you have a Bible, please turn to chapter 13. I'm sorry I did not put it on the PowerPoint. And please turn to Bible chapter 13, John chapter 13. As I said, at the end part, Jesus starting to tell them he's leaving. But someday he will come back. And all that. So the first question was asked by Peter. Four disciples asked him questions after he said that, recorded in chapter 13 and 14. The first one was Peter. Peter asked a question when Jesus said, I'm leaving. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Well, 36, he already asked once. But then he asked again, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I would die for you. You see, Peter's response was, I have such a self-confidence that he believed he would die for Jesus. But all we know that at the end, Jesus said that you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. So that was the first question Peter asked. And then if you look at chapter 14, because of time, I will tell you right away, chapter 14, verse 5. Now it's Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Now, if you look at chapter 14, this is the second question Thomas asked. So we have the famous verse 6, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And then no one come to me, go to the Father except through me. So he mentioned about the Father, and the only way is to know the Father is to know Jesus. Now you see, he's coming. He tried to explain to him, to them, when he leaves, this is going to happen. But don't worry, the relationship that I have with my Father is so strong, and then you are in me too, so don't worry about it when I'm leaving. So he continued this conversation. So if you look at, this is the second question that Thomas asked, and Jesus used two verses to answer his questions. Now the third and the fourth, Jesus spent a whole lot more time to explain, because those are the important questions. The third question is recorded in chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, because Jesus said that if you know me, you will know the Father. But Philip said, well, why don't you show us the Father, you know? And we are not sure who the Father looks like, something like that. So show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. So they were asking Jesus, well, you said that we know you, meaning that we know God. I'm not sure about that. So can you show us who the Father is? They are questioning Jesus. They are not sure about what he said. So Jesus used 13 verses. You see, this is the main meat, main part to answer chapter 15. So he's talking about, I'm in the Father, Father in me, and you are in me, all this, you know, very abstract sometimes. But if you look at it, you see, this is where the conversation starts. This is not talking about vineyard. He's just using an illustration, but we spend so much time on this vineyard story, we actually miss this chapter 14. Because chapter 14 is the ultimate explanation what Jesus meant. You are in me, I'm in you, you know, and I'm in the Father. If you see me, you will see the Father, and people can see me because of you. Because of you, people can see who I am. You get an important part of this conversation? So that's the third question Philip asked, and Jesus used 13 verses, the most verses that he used to explain this. And this has very much related to chapter 15. And I just hope that you will go home and before you go to bed, you know, take a look at chapter 14 carefully with chapter 15. Hopefully before you fall asleep, you know, you can look at it and try to see this relationship. And this is the explanation of chapter 15 in detail. Jesus already said it in chapter 14. And he, in case the disciples would not understand and could not understand, so that's why he used the vineyard, the vine and the branches, try to explain to them again, because they see vines everywhere. They should know the relationship between vine and the branches, all that. The last question is verse 22. Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Very hard to understand. What was the question? Why do you intend to show yourself to us but not to the world? The answer from Jesus helped me, at least, to understand this question. They were asking, why are you leaving? If people can see the Father through you, why don't you stay longer and allow the world to see who you are? Because through you, they can see the Father. Because this is how Jesus answered. He said, I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit will come and all that. So we know what actually Judas was asking is, can you stay longer? Don't leave now. A lot of work has not been done yet. Why don't you stay longer? We love to have Jesus. But Jesus said, this is not the plan. You are my plan. You each one of us. We are his plan. So that was the question he was talking about, and I tried to answer. So Judah was asking, why don't you stay longer? If you stay longer, you'll be wonderful. And people can know you know the Father, because you said that people can know the Father through you. Why don't you stay longer? And Jesus said, no, I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit will come. And he will live in you. You see, Jesus already answered all the questions and doubts that they have. And then he stepped out with them and he used his story, John chapter 15. So I hope today we will, at least I can help you and encourage you. When you look at chapter 15, this story, you need to understand chapter 14. The answers can be found actually in chapter 14. And we'll give you some ideas what Jesus was talking about. Now let's come to chapter 15 now. So Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So true vine versus false vine. And Israel was a false vine, because if you look at the Old Testament, especially the book of Isaiah, then you will see that chapter 5. So God was described, the nation was the vine and they bear bad fruit. So Jesus talking about, I'm the true vine. And I'm producing sweet, beautiful, and strong, big grapes. Those are bitter because you cannot depend on the nation of Israel. So now we have three kinds of branches. Because of time, I only have 7 minutes left. Let's go this quickly. I am the true vine, and then he talked about that. And then the first one, verse 2. Now, we have a problem. We have a problem. So this is the, forgot to show you the relationship, all this. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father is in me. So those are the passage that I highlighted and try to help you to understand what Jesus was talking about. So if you have time, go home and with some more. Now I want to show you the first one. Now first one has problem. When Jesus said the gardener comes in and he will cut off all the branches that is not producing. The branches in me that are not producing fruit, you'll be cut off. Now the reason this verse has some problems because of the translation. A lot of translators use cut off because of verse 6. Verse 6, that when the branch is not even in me, you see the difference? Verse 2, the branches that are in me is not producing. Verse 6, the branch is not in me, you'll be cut off. So totally talking about two different scenarios. Now, the Greek word for cut off also can be translated to pick up, bring it up, take it up. So you can tell this vine has no support and just lying on the ground. So if you look at more Bible translations, different versions, and then look at this, and very few scholars will use the word pick up. They will use cut off because of verse 6. They try to be consistent. But if you read it carefully, they are talking about two different scenarios. That's why I believe it's pick up. So for those branches that are in me and they are lying on the ground, the gardener will come and try to pick them up and support them so that they can be fruitful. It's very not logical for the gardener to just come in and cut and cut all the branches. At least not in this stage. He understands those because they see maybe after the storm or something, some branches just falling on the ground. So they need to pick up again and support it properly. So this is my understanding of these first branches. The second one is need pruning. So if you look at this picture, you will see that before pruning, talk about along the branches. Those are not really branches. Those are like a shoot. They were going to grow leaves. So the gardener will come in and cut off all these, cut at least cut some of these shoots that will produce leaves, because all the sugar will go to the leaves. So they would trim the vine and then allow the sugar goes to the grapes. That's why the grapes are sweet. So this is how they are done. So we are talking about the second scenario, is the light pruning. First one, discourage Christians like you and me. Sometimes we are going through the valley of death and we very much need someone to support us. And this second one is, of course, is pruning. You know, sometimes we are too arrogant, sometimes we are too self-reliant, and God comes in and really need to prune us, because otherwise we won't be able to produce sweet grapes. Yes, you can still produce grapes, but there will be sour grapes because not enough sugar in it. Listen carefully. You still can produce something without pruning, but it will be sour grapes. Nobody wants them. So in our lives, we still need pruning, because otherwise our fruit will not be sweet. The last one, of course, is verse 6. Totally cut off, because they are not even in me. You see, the wording, I just want to repeat, verse 2 is not the same as verse 6. So you need to read it carefully. Then you will find out that the treatment is not the same. So the verse 6, we will see that Jesus said that it actually will be cut off and thrown into the fire, all that. It's a warning to all of us. If we walk away from God, there will be the consequences. Now, I'm not going to whether you save once is save forever. It's not my talk today. That will be another 30 minutes or more, which I don't have time, so I only have 3 minutes left. So what are the fruits? As I say, it's a sweet. And talk about the Holy Spirit. So I believe, now this is a supported, very beautiful, supported, and all these leaves and under control, so they know how many shoots need to be pruned in order to make sure the grapes are sweet. I think the last, because Jesus mentioned about the coming of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So not only talk about the fruit relating to saving people, a lot of time when we talk about the fruit, we think about helping people to be Christians. Of course, this is one of the possibility, but the second one, I believe, is the fruit of the Spirit. The church, many churches, we focus too much on the gift of the Spirit. We always want to train people to be leaders. We always need leaders. That's why we spend so much resources focusing on the gift of the Spirit. But we did not spend enough time, energy, investment, and help our brothers and sisters to grow and to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So I hope that if we can do this successfully, I will just praise God forever. The fruit of the Spirit. Again, I just want to encourage you, don't just focusing on the gift of the Spirit. This takes longer, harder. I get that. As a pastor, I know that. But you cannot just ask people to serve, to work, when their life is empty, when their life is not right with God. As I said it earlier, yeah, you still can produce something. The production of the grapes will be a sour grapes, because you are depending on yourself. So when Jesus says, remain in me, actually he's talking about trusting him, rely on him. It's like a fusion. I use this word to describe remain in me, you know. What Jesus actually talks about is his life and my life fuse together. And this is where we draw strength and power, authority and wisdom from him. Let's pray. Father, I want to give you thanks for this morning. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus said to his disciples. I'm sure at that time they have no clue what Jesus was talking about. Otherwise, they won't ask so many questions. Four disciples asked four different questions. Not today, but we understand this. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We don't have that excuse and say that we don't get it. I don't understand. I have no clue what you're talking about. Lord, it's a matter of our willingness to go further with you. As you ask us to commit our lives to you, come and see, come and follow me, and come and be with me. At the end, it's remain in me. Jesus, you are coming back soon. As you describe your plan of salvation to your disciples, today we are the recipients of this gospel, this message. And you are asking us to do the same. We cannot just stay in a come and see or come and follow me. We cannot be a learner all our lives, just sitting here listening. And we are not willing to contribute with your strength, with your wisdom, and depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives. Lord, we pray that we will allow ourselves to come to you with a heart of obedience and make ourselves accountable to you as we journey this together as a community of faith, as a church. Lord, once again, we want to give you thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.